Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, have the latest. And the latest is, it is 5 o'clock, and the Astros are looking to get another dub, and they should be in good shape to do it with Framber Valdez on the mound. And by the way, old Framber starting to get on one of them Framber runs, isn't he? About the last seven, eight starts, yeah. It's just been
side for sore eyes.
Like it's he gets like Framber gets to these spots, and I know every single year that I've been here, he has frustrated people in some form or fashion. Who head case, think of him in some way, and right now as we sit here, he's sitting there 7-4, ERA just over 3, and has been rolling his last several starts, including last game out, 5 innings, 12 strikeouts, 1 walk in his last outing. And this is an A's team that you would think he should be able to handle. So Framber is, by the way, which is great, Framber is starting to get into his stride here. He is starting to get into that space where he's consistent, Clint, and you pretty much know what you're going to get each time out.
Absolutely.
His floor is like, hey, 6-7 innings, 3 runs. Well, feels like it's floor.
Even when he struggles early, Ron, he we're going on years now of a sample size here of him struggling, maybe being a little bit of a head case. To figuring things out, maybe get a couple of runs early on, maybe walks a couple of guys early on, and then all of a sudden, you look up and he's still in the game and it's in the seventh inning or it's in the sixth inning. It's like he's going to get another quality start after an ugly first inning where he threw 32 pitches and walked 2 batters. If you just watch him in a vacuum, watch him 1 or 2 games, you think, yeah, head case. Like hell, last time the damn pitching coach had to go out there and settle him down, hand on his shoulder, hey man, settle down. He's snatching balls out of the air from Pena. But again, to your point, I mean, we're going on years of a sample size here of the guy just being absolute nails and putting you in a place to win significantly more than not.
Extremely dependable. I am intrigued. I'm guessing Tyler did all right yesterday when it comes to best bets.
I didn't.
Don't do it, Tyler. You're getting accustomed to losing.
Oh,
do
God.
Not do it.
Man, he missed all the Astro ones. Sorry about
another
that.
Another red day for best
another
bets.
Another red day. Never mind.
I'm legit
How did
freaking
you miss
out.
The
I'm
Astros
just
one last night. What'd you miss last night on the Astros?
The Hell, only two I did for best bets were the Pena prop and the Altuve prop.
I got Altuve right. And Jake.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jake set it off right off the bat.
Yeah,
oh, that's easy.
God, never got another. Tonight's the night, baby.
That's what I was going to say. Now, what's your thought?
Framber innings. Framber total innings.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, what's your thought? When it comes to, all right, man, they just scored 13 runs the night before. Like, do you?
I just got to get back to basics right now, man. I got to go back to what I know, my go-to strategies in this wagering thing around pro sports. I got to get back to me, and we'll be fine. We'll be okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think I jinxed Pena, boys.
Yeah, you did, you ass.
I mean, since I had a bone to pick with Tyler about Pena, that night he went off again, had 3 or 4 hits, and I won the bet. Since that night, I don't know if he's had a hit in 3 games, 3 or 4 games.
Damn it, dirty. That's not going to drop no panties.
I'm telling you. Now's the time to get away from old Pena.
He is not going to be
gonna jump on. You going to jump on Cam now? Cam with them 4 hits?
No. I'm going to get back on that Paredes train and that Doobie. I'm on that Doobie train. Got
Doobie,
on that, I got on that Doobie train.
We'll see if he plays. Never sure if he going to play. But, no, they put up 13 last night. I don't know that they'll need 13 with Framber tonight, but the Astros are in good shape tonight to grab game 3 of this series. A 4-game set in Sacramento. By the way, when y'all watch this, y'all, I feel bad for them. I mean, that just, they're not playing in the major leagues. I mean, that, like,
I don't
just
feel
that,
bad for them.
That ballpark, I'm just the players. The players have anything to do. I'm just saying that.
I definitely don't feel bad for them.
The players. Just looking at them, that Triple A
just get warm.
The Triple A stadium they got to roll through. Did you see Abreu the other night? Thought about walking back to the clubhouse, but forgot.
Wrong direction.
No, that ain't the clubhouse. The clubhouse is through the bullpen. Everybody got walk. People running into each other while they're celebrating or in the handshake line because they got to go to the. I mean, it's a nice Triple A ballpark, but I mean,
damn,
I feel bad for them kids because there's somebody on that team that is not a. That's not going to be a major leaguer for long. Yeah, I know it, man. Tyler, just I do wish sometimes.
What y'all, I do?
I wish some people could read some of the things that I have to stop myself from reading on the air that Tyler types in.
I'm going to tell you, I love Tyler like a play cousin, but boy, you don't ever want to be down and out with T. You don't. He will step
I'll
on
just,
his throat.
I'll
now.
Just say he didn't say game three versus the Athletics. He's
oh, y'all are laughing at what I put in the rundown. I forgot about that.
He went a different direction.
Bitch ass homeless Athletics.
Homeless a-holes.
Yeah, let's see if them benches can get worn one more time this series, you asshats.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Jake. And Patrick Creighton. It's his birthday as well.
It's PC's birthday.
Happy birthday, Patrick Creighton and Jake Myers. Are you crazy? Those two share the same birthday?
That's probably why Patrick Creighton. He's the president of the fan base.
God, that's what we've... Oh, man. They share the same birthday. That's why he was fighting so hard. Wow, a couple of June 18thers.
Be cautious with Creighton tonight.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, we talked about a little bit with Brandon, a little bit more details here. The Texans, they signed. He was a XFL, played for the Roughnecks here in Houston, cornerback, former first-round pick of the Raiders, Damon Arnett Jr. out of Ohio State. He was last in the league in 2022. And he was playing with the Chiefs for a bit. They signed him to a one-year contract for Damon Arnett Jr. A couple of things here before you kind of get to on the field, which is something that I like to see, is he seemed to have gotten himself together and taken the route. Clint, I know you've not, you know, had the off-the-field issues he's had, but you can understand the route of, at your time, it's NFL Europe and going
all over
the place,
baby.
And he's made some steps and moves to now giving himself an opportunity to be on the roster, at least during training camp, to try to make this roster with the Texans. So, first, shout out to him for getting himself back on track. And I'm extremely happy for him that he got and made this path back to the league. But, Clint, I do think this is a legit chance for him, because there is a legit position of need there that he is competing with. And he's competing with people that I think he has a chance. If you get behind Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley Jr., maybe the best tandem, cornerback tandem in the league. After that, Clint, I mean, Damon Arnett Jr., he has the ability to say to himself, I can roll with any of these guys that are right there for that third quarterback position.
Yeah, look, there's a need here, obviously. The key to me about Damon Arnett Jr. is that he's been playing football, right? I mean, he was with the Raiders 2021. He was with the Dolphins 2021. He was with Kansas City Chiefs 2022. And when I say with them, either practice squad or, you know, he was around football. And then he's been back with the Roughnecks for a year. So, yes, the 23-24 year, you know, he was out and not sure what he was doing, but he's been playing football things. This isn't just a project that's coming off the streets that is just trying to sell that he's now a professional after being a hard head, knucklehead off the field. And so, you know, it seems like he's been doing football things, so it's a little bit more promising there. I've always been fascinated with these kind of stories. I don't want my team taking this kind of risk with the starting player, obviously. But right now, a backup corner, there's a desperate need there. There's going to be a competition with two or three other dudes that have been in the organization. There's going to be a competition there with the Smith kid that got drafted out of USC this year. You know, he's going to have to go in there and win a position. And he once was an unbelievably gifted, talented cornerback getting drafted 19 overall in 2020, and how much of that's still left in him, we'll see. If he really has turned his life around from an off-the-field standpoint, he's still got that dog in him, it's how he approaches the game, but he's turned his life around, he's more professional, he's taking care of his body, he's resting, his nutrition is right, all that kind of stuff. Who knows? What the sky could be the limit. We'll see. He obviously has a low floor and a very high ceiling. We'll see where he lands in between the two.
And I would say, Clint, he's got to be looking at himself saying, all right, I can compete with D'Angelo Ross. I can compete with Tremont Smith.
Well, you sure hope.
I can compete with, you know, a rookie that's just coming into the league to get one of these spots. So that's what they're doing. They're adding to that cornerback situation. And I would say leaving camp with the – and I think Brandon had a good point that – Ronald Darby caught him off guard. I don't think they expect that. I think they expected Ronald Darby to fill that void, and that happened kind of late. And now they're trying to figure out a way to fill that void. But it is quickly, Clint, one of the top questions on this team is, hey, what happens? And it's not just a what happened, right? We understand Derek Stingley's history. Shout out to him for making it through all of the games last year. But we know Kamari Lassiter missed a couple. So that is... that is something that is very, very serious to look at.
Ryan, you'd also, you know, we saw Kamari Lassiter play some inside corner, some nickel defender last year. We've talked this year about how defense first this team's going to be, how defensive driven this team's going to be. And I think when you look at the secondary, they got a chance to be one of the best secondaries in football, at least the starting line. Now you get into the deeper conversation of D'Amico Ryans and what kind of weapons does he have? And the Jalen Petrie, Kamari Lassiter or the Jalen Petrie, Jalen Smith combination at that nickel defender position. Right now, Miles Bryan, I believe, is running in there some. You mentioned Ross earlier. He was running there some at nickel defender. That's a real weapon as an adjustment or as a game plan weapon for D'Amico Ryans. And I think it's going to hinge the ability to move Kamari Lassiter. Where I'm going with it, the ability to move Kamari Lassiter around and have him and use him in unique ways is going to hinge on whether they've got a third corner that they trust or not.
Yeah.
And this guy falls in that competition.
All right, that is the latest. Is the Texans, they brought him in for a tryout, and now they've eventually made the decision to go ahead and sign him on a one-year deal.
You're going
to
get hit hard if you're playing against us.
5 o'clock fire.
Thanks, D'Amico. Big news coming out of the sports world and in the NBA. The Buss family, who have been the longtime owners of the Los Angeles Lakers, Clint, the Buss family, including Jenny Buss, who is the who kind of runs the show there, they are entering an agreement to sell the majority ownership of the Lakers to Mark Walter for a franchise valuation of approximately $10 billion.
Wow,
This would be the largest sale of a professional sports franchise in the world. $10 billion with the Lakers.
And show would do it.
Well, I bet you, and I've watched a lot of these docs and these shows on the Lakers and how they started to come up winning time with
that was good.
The Buss family and Jerry Buss.
That was really good.
Jerry to kill Jenny, I believe. If he'd have tried to kill her, if she'd have tried to do this while he was alive.
How long's the Buss family own the Lakers?
It's forever.
70s, 80s, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Cheryl.
But it was his everything. He was dead broke, and he would still, like, that was what he, and then he obviously started to make some money of it as they got really popular, but that was, like, it was everything to him. And now apparently she will still have a major role with the team, but they would be selling the majority ownership to Mark Walter for $10 billion. $10 billion.
46 years of ownership for the Buss family. Late show.
I'm telling you, Jerry wouldn't have been about this. Nah, man, we're going to figure something else out.
He's doing cartwheels at his damn grave right now.
He is pissed. He might come back.
Is that 79?
Yeah. My man, Brandon said, I just throw some money down at him. He's rolling around in that grave.
hey, tuck this in the side so you can't roll around so much.
$10 billion.
Big fella.
What do you think the Cowboys would go for? Like, if this is the biggest sale...
thing?
Like, if this is the biggest sale we've ever seen in professional sports, like, the Cowboys is right? That's, like, the Cowboys right now, if the Lakers are it, the Cowboys would be the team that would go for the most. Right, of any professional sports team.
There was. Glory hole.
And I'll say at least America, like North America. I don't. I would imagine.
The soccer stuff's wild.
I would imagine that if the Lakers have beat some of these soccer teams, I think the Cowboys would too.
Sure.
I mean, if the Lakers are going for 10, I mean, the Cowboys. I mean, Jerry could probably sell them. He'd never do it. But Jerry could probably sell them suckers. Steven might. Could sell them suckers for about 15, 20 billion.
It isn't on my schedule.
I'd imagine.
I would think. I don't know exactly, but I would think.
Because, yeah, the Cowboys would be valued more than the Lakers, even though it's, I mean, L.A. and everything. But the Cowboys, everything that comes with it. It's crazy how much these cats get. $10 billion. My goodness. Go ahead, Jeannie Buss and the Buss family. So that is the latest there. It's the Lakers are on the move. No longer will the Buss family be the majority owners for them. Coming up. I think you will get excited. Now, some of you may say, whoa, slow down a little bit. But I think you will get extremely excited when you hear one of the NFL talkers and what he has to say about C.J. Stroud. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Hey, going to do a little Perry Steakhouse tonight, fellas.
Oh,
you are?
Yeah. I'm going to get you a pork chop.
You going home getting dressed first?
Yeah, I told Clint this in one of the breaks. He missed it.
I know, I heard you say it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, no,
you gotta really,
I didn't know if you did.
I answered. I told you I ain't never been there.
Oh, okay. The way you had it here, you said that.
Oh, so you weren't listening wrong.
The way you just sold that right there, it sounded like that was the first time you ever heard me say that.
I believe it sounded like Mattress Mac pitching a hell of a deal.
I was going to tell you. No, yeah, good times, man. I hear everybody, it's this steakhouse, but everything I keep hearing is this the pork chop.
That's what they're legendary for.
Oh, hell, I thought we had a conversation. You can't do that. Go to a steakhouse and get a pork chop?
Yeah, no.
Go to a seafood place and get something else?
They were made famous by the particular dish, though.
It is, and I feel like that might be an exception. I think there is an out on that. It is the famous. It's the famous dish.
I wouldn't know. I don't like pork chops.
What?
Yeah, I'm not a. It's like one of few proteins. I don't think it's like disgusting. It's just not like a go-to protein for me. I don't think the taste in anything. Oh, okay. All that.
So
great.
You said you don't like it. Like,
I'm not saying it like sucks like the Beatles do. But
I was just fixing to say, you know, I don't want to put it in the Beatles category. It sounds like you're not
the hell out of here, Paul McCartney.
Ass. That poor. Okay. Thankfully, you chose him. Not,
I'm with you on this though, T. Not the Beatles. I'm with you on this pork chop.
Look at this sucker.
I've tried it. It
looks
good.
Tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Looks does, tremendous. It? I'm sure it's good.
It's like three mil.
You're not a pork chop person, really?
I like, back in the day, mom and dad, I don't remember who used to do it. I don't want to piss Linda off. I know she's listening. So one of them used to cook pork chops, and they were tremendous.
I'm going to come over there and whoop that ass.
They were about one-tenth as thick as that one you just showed me right there. They were thin.
My mom used to cook pork chops growing up, and I ate them.
Pork
like
chops, gravy, mashed taters, you know, yeah, I mean, and those were good. I just don't – I've had some really good pork chops in my time. I remember going to places where, like you said, like that's what they're famous
that's
for.
What they're
and it's good, but I ain't going back.
You ain't going back for it? Oh, I love a good pork chop. Houston's used to have a real good one.
Yeah? What makes Houston, a good pork chop, you reckon?
I like the the thickness.
Just how thick it is. Well, that sunbuck you just showed me.
That one you just showed me is going to be
tremendous.
Because it can be really easy to dry out and to overcook, but when it is perfect, good. Yeah, they look like they're pairing it with a little applesauce or something like that.
Want a big girthy bitch. They do pair with applesauce.
Yeah. Nah, someone just texted and said, she'll get the pork chop.
Somebody.
That was Doug's dog's name, too.
What's the occasion?
Text line coming through, Ron. How do you like your steak? Medium rare.
That's the way it should be.
What's the occasion?
Just hanging out, you know. Got the grandparents in town, so maybe we get out and grab a little.
Oh, so you and the wife get out and do a little something?
Grab a little dinner, yeah.
Pump day horniness.
Well, I mean, he just.
Okay. That's what I call it.
Maybe.
You don't know.
Right, Throw her down right in front, right with her parents. Yeah. Next door. There it is.
I wasn't saying.
No, I think it's a hell of an idea.
I think it'd be
a little uncomfortable.
I think you should hit old side street. I think you should hit old side street. Surprise on the court. Pull over on the side street.
Punch that clock and go to work, hey, son.
I don't know, man. Just telling you, man. may ease up on a parking lot or something, man. You never know.
How many times this week do you think I can get Ron to throw his glasses off? Because I believe I've gotten Ron. We're in Wednesday. 30 minutes left in the show. I believe I've had him throw his glasses off at least 3 or 4 times so far this week.
Punch that clock and go to work.
I know what my boy's all about.
And go to work, son. Get your side. You don't have to go all the way, man. You just get over some heavy petting, you know. Just take it back to the old days, you know.
My boy Ron ain't scared of a little sweat in the sack. Let's get it.
This would be the sack, right? This.
Mm-mm. See?
Oh, it's just, again, it's term.
I don't know, man. That Camry doesn't have as much space as it used to.
I'm going to be in your Camry. You're going to take that. You're going to take that green one. Oh, yeah, no question.
Yeah, it's going to take the Camry.
On the hood?
You're right, man.
Take it to Pleasure Town.
No. That's maybe the trunk. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, try it out, bud. I'm telling you. Yeah. See, we're on to something here.
Put
your best on, sister. Put your best on. We done planted a seed in Ron's mind. He's over here.
I got a little Crystal's hot sauce in the trunk, too, man.
What?
Oh, little Crystal sounds like a spicy mama.
Taste a little bit of this.
Easy show.
Spicy Crystal got me talking Spanish.
Speaking of Chris Sims, he...
Chris Sims, damn.
He said, listen, the Texans have let us know this ain't about CJ Stroud. This is the moves they made show us that it wasn't at all CJ Stroud last year.
There's a reason they fired their offensive coordinator after going to the playoffs 2 years in a row. There's a reason they've totally said the hell with our offensive line after going to the playoffs 2 years in a row. They are telling you without telling you the problems with the team were not CJ Stroud. It was our pass protection scheme and our offensive line. And that's what they had to fix. And CJ Stroud, the Texans, I will not be shocked if they're in the Super Bowl this year.
Clint, yeah,
what is
he really he laid into that one. But Clint, when I hear him say that, and I will say Chris Sims is dead on with the assessment of what the Texans did, because the Texans seem to operate and make moves like he's saying exactly how they felt. They made moves as if to say no. It ain't him. No, he needs more responsibility. No, we need to move these different guys. We need to change the OC. We need to change the play caller. And to me, Clint, if that is the case, then we should see a real change of things. If that's the case, we should see a real difference in how this offense functions with the changes they've made.
Well, look, he states the obvious. I mean, obviously they weren't going to get rid of C.J. Stroud and say our quarterback sucked after last year. So, I mean, what the point is an obvious point. It was what was going on around C.J. Stroud. And, look, here's the reality of it with the Texans is, yes, the problems that needed to be completely replaced were those obviously around C.J. Stroud. But what I don't like about what Chris is saying is just through the quarterback eye, like C.J. Stroud did nothing last year to protect his offensive line. Now, he left that part out to you. Yes, a lot of that I think was due to coaches preaching and changing identity, as I mentioned earlier before the season started. A lot of that may have been, hey, he was handcuffed and he couldn't communicate and he couldn't protect himself. I can get with that. So it's not, but that's the quarterback, right? And so where I'm going with it is they can get better on the offensive line. These two young receivers can be really good. And if CJ Stroud doesn't shift back to closer to the way he played the game in the first year in the league, then you're still going to – he may not lead the league in sacks and be number two in pressures or whatever the hell it was with Caleb Williams. That may not be the company he's keeping, worst in the league, but it's still going to be a problem, right? So what I agree with a lot of what Chris said, but the one thing is like CJ's got a role to play here too. Like to me, last year was extreme because the protection was so bad. But to me, a lot of times, man, a quarterback can choose to protect himself. A quarterback can consistently choose to take hits. You got the Tom Brady version of quarterback, and then you got, let's call it, the Joe Burrow version of quarterback. Two very similar quarterbacks skill set wise. One chooses to take a bunch of risk and drive the football down the field, and he's constantly getting his head knocked off in Joe Burrow. And Tom Brady was the cleanest quarterback back before turf existed. I mean, it just, that is, you got to find, and I think CJ ultimately is going to live somewhere in the middle, but CJ's got to be better as well in critical moments versus pressure.
Yeah.
So there, I just don't want to, Chris is like completely
absolving him of any
of any responsibility or you know, like, yeah, that's I mean,
it was really, really bad. Like, the protection and the misses were really, really bad at times, and there were certain games where he didn't have a shot. But I know you have pointed out multiple times that there were easy throws that he bypassed, knowing that they were struggling.
Knowing that the protection sucked.
That easy throws that they bypassed to keep, to hold the ball longer, to try to make plays. Yeah. Now, what we're led to believe, and what Chris is saying, and what the actions is, this was not as much as a CJ thing, but this was as much of a, this is what the offense is saying to do.
And fair.
And that's how they're positioning it.
Look, and look, I can have that conversation, but here's the deal, and Will Kunkel mentioned it earlier. At some point, CJ Stroud, I don't give a damn who the offensive coordinator is, right? CJ Stroud cannot go into a playoff game, hell, any game, but a playoff game, and not have an answer and not know where he's going to go with the ball with the safety A-gap blitz. Like that CJ Stroud has to get, and maybe he's there now, but CJ Stroud has to get to a point where he goes, hey, coach, I mean, these cats are walking the safety up in the A-gap. What the hell are we going to do? Like, that's football 101. Like, you've got to have an answer for that. And if you don't, then the quarterback's got to say, hey, man, what are we doing here? So there is no doubt about it, he was handcuffed. And I would never place blame, if you use that word, I would never place blame on C.J. Stroud for the protection issues last year. But did he play a part? Could he have made it a little bit less? Could he have improved it a tad bit? Absolutely. Yeah. And if we're going to break all the problems down and all the answers down, we got to get to C.J. at some point and talk about what he could do better. And I think there are things that he could do better, and I think he knows that.
Yeah. Coming up, we'll see if Tyler can get into the green again. And if you are making these bets with him, you're bound to get in the green again, too. Hopefully it is today. So T-Mill's best bets coming up, as well as the big news. The package to get Kevin Durant, the package you have to beat right now, as reported. We'll let you know what that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Do you know Ojo Cinco was a stripper?
I did. No, I didn't.
I read where Ojo...
Like Chad?
Ocho Cinco said he was stripped back in 1997 and 98. Said he went by the name Twix.
I think he legally changed his name back from Ocho Cinco to Chad Johnson, didn't
Oh,
he?
Did he?
I think so.
This had to be... Was he in Corvallis doing that?
I don't know. 97, 98? I mean, that's
got to be
his
prime years.
It's got to be.
Maybe he's... Because if not, then he was in high school.
Tyler, you
was at Oregon State.
Tyler, if you were going to strip, what would your name be?
Oof. I've thought of this before, and I had a good one. Let's see if I can get it.
I've thought of this before.
I mean, what made you think about what your stripper name would be? Just a random thought? Or
we talked about it on this program.
A possibility. We talked about it on this program.
At 1997 to 99, he was at Santa Monica College. So he was in L.A. just getting it in.
Oh, I know what I was thinking of. It wasn't my stripper name. I will think on that. But in The Loop a few weeks ago, they were talking about if they owned a strip club, a shake joint, what their shake joint would be called. And mine was, I didn't tell them, but it was the best. My shake joint would be called T-MILFs. Come on in to Team MILFs.
What would you do if they were
hire a bunch of moms?
It would be straight moms. Huh?
Nothing but moms. You had to be a mom.
Sexy that's ass tough, MILFs only on the stage at
you
Team
know,
MILFs.
I mean, that's a tough thing to keep the. You're basically Notre Dame in yourself.
Are you going
to
have a
work hard for our patrons?
Like you're you're not opening up a wide range of people you can bring in.
But if you do it right, you could bring them all in. You could bring them all in to work just for you from around the country, because that would be
around the country, like a traveling one?
Exactly. Well, no, most, y'all most are of, hitting the nail
most
on the
of
head.
Them travel anyway.
We'd have the number one recruiting class of hot moms in the country every single year across all shade joints.
There was a steady flow of coming in from Canada and Dallas, back in Dallas in a day. Steady.
Canada?
Oh, fly in and dance for the week and then get out.
Oh, really?
That hasn't been
make enough 1 or 2 weeks to get your month in and go back to Canada? Absolutely.
It's always hard to tell the further north you go because they got to bundle up so much.
No, I think they were coming to Dallas to strip and then going back home just to live.
Hit me up, girls.
Mm. I mean, that's a good way to keep everybody from noticing. But old Twix, I'm going
to
say.
You go to a different town and get them in there.
Shoot, they went to a different country. But apparently Twix was getting it, man.
At T-Mill Real Twix, Deal, huh? Submit your resume. Taking them now. We're building a strong team.
I mean, man. I think you'd have a strong customer base. I think every man at some point in their life was interested in a MILF or two.
I don't know.
Tiny nipple
we've had
T-Mill.
This conversation.
It's got to be the I know, but like when you go watch a dancer, right? Like
I ain't never thought.
When you go watch a dancer, like you're looking. I'm talking guys. Go watch a dancer. They're looking to really have one that has a certain look to them.
Sexy.
Oh man,
come on, man.
Like I don't know, boys. Maybe some.
Team MILFs.
I mean,
there's some beautiful MILFs. I'm just saying, I think he is really shrinking his
coming to the stage.
Oh, there's no doubt it's a specialty spot.
Yeah, it's a specialty.
I mean, it's a specialty shake. But I just think I think you'd garner attention nationally, get a lot of free advertising. I think men in general, especially younger men, would pique their interest than just a random shake. I think you're onto something.
Yeah, no, it's a niche.
I think you're onto something.
We've done focus groups. We're going to have a great thing going.
You have not done focus groups.
You don't know my life.
You haven't done focus groups. I do.
No.
I do. I know one thing.
You don't know.
I do. One thing I know is you're going to try to get back into the green today, and we'll see what that looks like. Good luck for you. It's been a minute. No, it's just Friday, I guess. Just not this week. We're 2-9 this week right now. 2-9 with...
been a strong minute since
five more on the
two days
tonight
together.
So T-Mill will do his best bets, hopefully that comes through.
Twix.
Coming up coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, four Texan players land the NFL analyst top 100.
Let's get it on, baby.
I'll talk about that. And also, happy birthday, PC. Patrick Creighton is here. Happy birthday to Patrick Creighton. As he will hold it down, Sean Bajani and Chris Santiago.
He'll actually be out.
Huh?
Creighton will actually be enjoying his birthday.
Smart for him, actually. That makes sense. He should be out enjoying his birthday.
Santiago out, too.
Okay.
But I got your back.
I'm still thinking.
So Area is out here.
Bajani, Partee, and Colin.
We got Area out here. Area and the 4-5 is coming up later on in the week. So Area 45 coming up behind us. Chris in the building. There we go. Should be fun. All right.
Sarah Jessica Parker, man. She's
I'm
always
thinking if
tweet.
We limit it to candy bars, if your stripper name had to be a candy bar, what would it be?
Oh, Henry.
Milky Way.
That's what I had for you, Tyler.
Oh,
that's
Henry.
What I would
nailed
have for you.
It.
Milky Way for sure. Here comes Milky Way. Top heavy Milky Way. Welcome to
top heavy.
Milky damn Way. Right. Hope you dressed appropriately, girl.
Golly.
$1,000 grand.
We got options.
100 grand.
Hey, Ron, we got options for you, though, bro.
100 grand.
We
chocolate
got options.
Bear.
What kind of candy bar is that?
Never heard of that one.
Oh, I forgot we were doing candy bars.
He just went chocolate bear.
Chocolate bear.
You look like a chocolate bear to me in the sack.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
Tenacious. But cuddling. Not like the weirdo Charmin bears that care a lot about wiping their butt all the time. Like a cuddly sex bear.
The rails are going here.
Milky Way.
What you call me, Snicker?
Yeah, we got options, bro. We got options. You can go with basic Hershey.
Yeah,
I mean, you can go with the
almonds.
Old school.
With almonds.
You
though.
Could. You could put, yeah.
Is that my boy Ron?
I think I'd probably go with Payday.
Oh, you Payday. What's the one with the white on the outside?
That's the Milky Way. That's the one
no,
he took.
No, his, it's, that's Milky me. Way is chocolate. There's a... There's a candy bar that's white.
That's it.
Milky Way is
Milky
not white.
Milky Way is not white. No. Yeah. It looks like a Snickers. It's more on that side.
I know what you're talking about. I thought that was the Milky Way. That's the one I was thinking of. What's the white? Zero.
Zero.
That would be
it.
Tyler there, right
there. There it is.
Yeah.
That is.
Welcome,
I'm Milky Way.
Welcome,
bro.
Zero to the state. No, there you are zero.
It's about the name, and I like Milky Way.
No,
yeah, you don't get to pick my name.
If they welcome Zero to the stage and you walked out from behind that curtain, everybody would remember that candy bar right there.
Welcome to center stage.
Coming to the stage, feast your eyes on the good bar.
Mr. Good Bar.
Good.
That's a good one.
Yellow
wrapping. This is unfair because Ron's got options, man. This
I like Milky Way. I
mean, coming up, your normal Hershey, but the cookies and cream.
Yes. No, Hershey, you can't right be cookies and cream.
No, you are. No. You cookies and cream.
Would like
that cookies
you.
And cream is white. Got a little specks of soul on the inside of it. Look, cookies and cream right here.
Man, that is funny.
The mounds. Mounds. Yeah, got a little coconut in you.
Why don't you get a break off this Kit Kat bar, girl?
Kit Kat's a good one. That comes in white, too, doesn't it?
I think they're making a lot of them in white now. Yeah.
Want you to lay your fingers on my Butterfinger. You know what I mean?
No, I don't want you to do that anymore. I would like for you to now give us the best bits, please, before you let it completely.
Appreciate that, Ocho Cinco.
Before you let it completely get away from you.
Yeah, I think I'd be a tiny nipple tassel wearing T-Mill on the stage, if I had to say.
He just went as kinky as he can get with teeth, didn't he?
I am kinky now. Don't give me the lie. All right, Best Bets, this has been a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. It's just been bad. It's all we can say at this point. I'm having to laugh to keep from crying. We haven't strung two green days of Best Bets together since the war. It's been forever. But scared money don't make money. Five more baseball wagers for you on a hump day. Tomorrow night at this time, we'll have NBA Finals bets, I believe. But tonight, five baseball bets. First, Astros. Late night baseball in California against the A's in Sacramento. -1 run for the Astros. I got that at the odds of -135. Next, I am on Framber. The sweaty ass man on the mound for the Houston Astros tonight. Framber Valdez over 6.5 Ks. I believe he had 12-ish last start.
Yep, five innings, 12.
Yeah, not usually a big high K guy, Framber. He's more of a ground ball pitcher, but I like that bet tonight. Next, Jose Altuve. Missed this one last night. Don't think we will this time. Strogoat over 1.5 total bases for Jose Altuve. And then lastly, these two for you. Padres. Also playing some late night baseball out on the diamond at the Dodgers. I'm on the Padres +1.5. And then your very last best bet, fifth and final, Royals at bitch-ass Arlington Rangers on a Wednesday night. Over 8 runs in that one between the Rangers and the Royals. Those are your five best bets. Let's get a green number,
like,
for the love of God.
Like the three Astros bets, the Royals won. I'm not sure. They're Chris Bubic, who's pitching for them. ERA under 2 has been really, really good this year. And the Royals don't score runs. They had an explosion of 6 yesterday.
They will tonight.
And they had 6, and the Rangers scored 1, so that wouldn't have done it. So I don't know about that one. But I like the Astros bets. Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie.
Trying to think that we're missing
Tootsie
some.
Roll's a good one.
Now coming to the stage, old bit. Honey.
Oh, yes, that's a good one. That is a good one.
100 grand.
Oh, yeah.
Could do a lot of wordplay with that and,
spring,
you know, making it rain.
Spring break 2007.
I think I'll take the Astros -1 with you.
So,
just sorry.
All right, I got you, Dirty.
When we got to the hotel, that was it all over the place. It was like the candy of the hotel. There were 100 grand candy bars all over the place. I must have had 30 of them that week.
I haven't had one forever.
They were in our pack. That was in our little greeting bag, and we just tore them up. I said, "Man, these things are good." I'm on the neck.
Man.
Some little Rice Krispie things.
We may be
on
to something there,
me.
Boys. Let's figure out what our
text
candy
line.
Bars
ooh, welcome to the stage. M&M's melts in your mouth, not in your.
Oh. M&M.
No touching the dancers, by the way, at T-Milfs. Let's be gentlemen out there, okay?
All right, Tyler, great job. Clint, great job. Shout out to Will. Shout out to B. Scott. I am Ron, the show. Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Then I look at you, and the world's all.
just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
A little Astros, a little Texans, and we got to get Will's thoughts on, I mean, the take of the year from Tyler Milner yesterday. The absolute take of all the Dunlap year. And I respect him so much. He's 11 toes down on that take. The Beatles, Nirvana, overrated. That's next.
Whoa. Get the hell out of here.
All right.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.